living streams of water, clean and cold. Living streams of water wash away my own. Living streams.
Hi, this is Pastor Greg Rubel of Living Streams Community Church in McCordsville, Indiana. We want to thank you for your interest in God's Word and this message. We pray that God puts it into your heart.
Streams of water wash away my soul.
You can take your Bibles and turn to Acts chapter 3. We're going to be in verses 1 to 10. Well, we're getting our last installment of Getting in the Flow with Mercy today. And every now and then we hear a story about somebody in the world that's just getting it done with mercy. You know, they're just making a difference by being in the flow with mercy and helping people who need a lot of help. Here's one such story that I found. For almost 10 years, Adam Bruckner, who's the assistant coach of the Philadelphia Kicks indoor soccer team, he made it his personal mission to help the homeless. Although he earns a modest income and gives everything away that he has, he decided that that really even wasn't enough. So he pared down his expenses to two things, food and gas. That's all he was wanting to pay for himself. All because he wanted to give to the less fortunate. Now, Bruckner, he grew up in a typical middle-class family, American family. He was a high school jock. He would say he was anything and very far from a saint growing up. His soccer skills earned him an athletic scholarship at the University of Wisconsin at Green Bay. After graduation, he goes on a road trip to Louisiana, Lafayette, Louisiana, to try to make a soccer team there. And he didn't make it. And so he went to another town, Pensacola, Buffalo, New York, Sacramento, and Portland, all of those places trying out for a soccer team. And finally, in Philadelphia, he found a team that wanted him. So he's chasing his dream of playing professional soccer. And along the way, that meant he was taking a lot of buses. He was doing a lot of hitchhiking. He was basically staying in cheap hotels and sleeping on the couches of friends that would let him in. So along the way, all these are kind of some difficulties that he had pursuing his dream. And all those difficulties had this impact on his heart. And he started to learn a little bit about the plight of the homeless. And so he began to have a heart for the homeless. And then somebody approached him about Jesus. And they asked him if he'd like to turn his life over to Christ. And he did. And then something stirred inside of him. And when he got back to Philadelphia, he opened up his Bible and he asked for guidance for his life. And that's when it hit him that walking by faith wasn't all about burning bushes. It wasn't all about moving mountains, but it was about living out God's word every single day and helping people who were less fortunate than yourself. So this is what he said. There was nothing planned about it. It just sort of happened. I always had a heart for homeless people. And one day I decided to hand out sandwiches in the park to anyone who was hungry. And then things just kind of grew from there. There are a lot of people who believe that the homeless are just lazy. But a lot of people are unable to help themselves because they might not have enough money just to get an ID so that they could get a job. And so this was about writing a few checks to help some guys get a driver's license so they could get a truck driving job. It's that easy. So along with his carload of sandwiches and food, he also would take several checkbooks along with him. And as he made weekly trips to the park, he started writing checks so that he could help these homeless people. Now, he was very aware of some of the scam artists that are, you know, in that community. And so he would write the checks to agencies that they could go to get help. And he'd basically help whoever he could, however he could. And he keeps doing that. So it says he's written more than 2,000 checks to try to help people for a wide variety of purposes. And he's always on the brink of financial disaster. But he says this. His work is still in its infancy. He says, I've spent more than what I have, but I've learned to trust the Lord in everything. He'll never lead us where we can't follow. He won't give us anything to do that we can't handle. And if we need help from him, all we have to do is ask. I'm living proof of that. There's a guy who's making a difference with mercy. Just an ordinary guy. And there's a lot of people like him. A lot of people out there that don't have a lot of money, that don't have well-paying jobs, and they're just making a difference with mercy. And I'm here to encourage you to do that today. To be someone who makes a difference with mercy. I'm just going to follow Hebrews 10:24. Let us think of ways to motivate one another toward love and good deeds. That's what I'm here to do today. To motivate you toward love and good deeds. To spur you on into the arena of need. And your weapon is mercy. So that's where we're going. Now, understand, you don't have to be a professional athlete to make a difference. You don't have to be a pastor or a missionary to make a difference. You don't have to have a college degree or a well-paying job. You just need to be willing. Willing to go out and give what you've got. Give what you've got and give it away for Jesus. I'm going to read about Peter this morning, who did that. He made a difference with mercy, giving away what he had. So let's read there in Acts chapter 3, verses 1 to 10. Now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate, to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold. But what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping up, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. I can almost sing that. You know that one? And walking and leaping and praising God. Sorry. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple, asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word today, the story that it shares with us about your power flowing through Peter, your mercy flowing through Peter and changing a beggar's life. And so we pray today that the story would touch our hearts, that you'd use it in our lives to think about getting in the flow with mercy in ordinary and ways that make a difference in the lives of people. So we ask your Spirit to help us today, to be mindful of your voice. And I pray the words of my mouth, the meditations of my heart would be pleasing in your sight. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So Peter there, he's on his way to the temple to pray. And he sees this very needy guy there begging, and he stops to help him. And he gets his attention, has the man look at him, and what happens is he makes this immediate difference in the guy's life. When we get in the flow with mercy, we will make an immediate difference. Just ordinary people giving away what we've got. Now, let's remember what mercy is. It's a pretty broad term in this mercy stream that we've been talking about. We are thinking on the term of social justice and helping, you know, society and helping people who are struggling in society. So it's kind of when we decide to get involved in somebody's life and somebody's need, and we relieve a burden that they have that they could not relieve themselves. Okay, so that's mercy. Jesus said, "Be merciful, just as your heavenly Father is merciful." And if we think about that again for a second, God saw that we had this burden of sin that we could not do anything about. We couldn't get rid of this burden of sin. We couldn't fix the rift that we had between us and God. And so God sent Jesus and to be the solution for us, to have mercy on us, to take on our burden of sin so that we wouldn't have to have it anymore. And that led him to the cross and the consequences of sin, which is death. And so there is the mercy that God shows us. And Jesus was the ultimate difference maker when it comes to mercy. He was the ultimate difference maker. And then he calls us to follow him in that kind of example of giving up our life for other people. Peter said he didn't have any money to give to the poor guy, but he did have Jesus. And through his name, the beggar's burden was lifted, and he ends up doing the dance of joy. That's pretty cool. And what did it cost Peter? It didn't really cost him a whole lot. It cost him a little time, little interruption on his way to the temple. Maybe he was going to be late, you know, but he was bringing the revival with him to the temple that day. But he made an immediate difference in this man's life. Now, it did cost him a lot of faith. You know, I find his boldness, his strong confidence in God's power flowing through him to be pretty amazing. You know, all in Jesus' name. Vance was an African-American who was living in a predominantly Hispanic neighborhood. And because of that, he sort of stood out. But what really set him apart was his father's heart, who cares not only for his own kids, but the kids that lived in his building, the kids that played out front of his building in the street. Well, one night at 9 p.m., there was a knock on Vance's door, and it was a 16-year-old boy who lived just down the street, and he came over to ask him if he could help him tie his tie. He had this big presentation at school the next day, and he didn't have a father at home to help him tie his tie, so he came over and asked Vance to do it. And so after he tied the tie, the boy then sheepishly asked, "Do you have a pair of black dress shoes that I can borrow?" And Vance immediately remembers in his closet, there's this $80 pair of black dress shoes still in the box. And God was laying it on his heart. God was telling him to give those shoes to this 16-year-old boy. Now, he told the boy to wait there, and he went back into his apartment to look for any pair of shoes that he could give the boy, except the new ones that were in the box. Now, before he gets to his closet, he stops and he tells his wife in his living room what he felt like God was telling him to do with the shoes. And his wife said, "Well, that sounds like a pretty good idea." And so Vance goes to his closet and he gets the shoes. He brings them to the boy, and his last hope is that they wouldn't fit. You know, they were size 12. What 16-year-old boy has 12, size 12 shoes? Well, they fit perfectly. So just a few weeks after this, his wife, Vance and his wife, they were asking God about starting a Bible study in their home for the kids in their apartment building. And they felt like that was something God wanted them to do, so they did. They opened up their home on a Sunday night, and they ordered four Bibles in case they had some kids come who didn't have Bibles. And when they had study that night, there were seven kids that showed up, led by a 16-year-old with new black dress shoes. The following week, they ordered more Bibles, and 14 kids showed up. Now, who would have thought that the kingdom of God would come to the kids in that apartment building because a man gave away a pair of shoes? Vance made an immediate difference in the life of that boy. And God used that to start a new community that met together around his word. And any time that happens, you can be guaranteed that there's going to be difference making that continues on in their lives as they get into God's word. Now, one of the ways that we are looking to make a difference here in our community is through the bags that are on your seats when you came in. If you remember last February, we filled up these bags with some hygiene items. There's a list in the bags of things that you can get. And we want to give these away down at the Angel Connection food pantry. And so we did this last February, and we got over 100 bags, and it lasted them almost the whole year. So I was thinking, why don't we go for 200? Why don't we go for 200 bags and see if we can cover the need for the whole of 2017 at Angel Connection? Just down the street. It makes an immediate difference. Now, we put notes in there of encouragement and prayer for the people that get them. And so that'll be part of what goes in the bag. But take those home with you. I was thinking, why don't we just collect them till Christmas? 200 bags. I'll make sure we don't have 201. No, I'm just kidding. 201 would be all right, wouldn't it? But let's do it, shall we? Let's make a difference, immediate difference in the lives of people that visit Angel Connection. And if you want to be part of handing those bags out, you can talk to Larry Ostendorf, and he'll let you know when they are open and when you can show up to serve the people that come there. Larry's in the sound booth. Say hi, Larry. All right, so mercy will make an immediate difference. Mercy will also make an internal difference in our lives. Now, it's tough to tell what was going on inside of Peter when he stopped to help this beggar. You think about it, just over 2 months ago, he denied that he even knew Jesus because he was afraid for his life. And here he is with great boldness doing the very kind of thing that his Savior did and doing it in Jesus' name, letting everybody know he's a follower. Now in John 17, verse 3, it says, "Now this is eternal life, that they know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So the more that we know Jesus, the greater experience we have of eternal life as we walk this earth. And so Peter was filling the shoes of Jesus in this man's life. As far as we know, it's the first time Peter healed somebody. First time. And that really makes it amazing, his boldness, his confidence in God's power flowing through him. So it was Peter's first experience of knowing what it was like to follow Jesus' example, to do things that Jesus had done. So what you see in this passage is Peter's knowledge of Jesus just went up. He knows him better because he was walking in his shoes, doing things that he did. Same goes for us. As we get in the flow with mercy, there's going to be an internal difference made in our lives as we follow Jesus and do the things that he did while he walked the earth. Now, if you think about who Jesus was and the ways his ministry of mercy impacted his life, here's a few things. Jesus was the most humble person that ever lived. In Philippians chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position of a slave and was born as a human being. Now, what you're reading about there is the biggest step of humility anybody has ever taken in the history of the world. When Jesus, who was God, who was with God, existed with God forever, came here and put himself in human form. Biggest step of humility that has ever been taken. And then he spends 30 years on this earth in obscurity. You know, just working with his family. Not really any spotlight. And then he starts his ministry. And instead of going to the religious establishment to inaugurate his kingdom, no, what's he do? He goes to the lake. And he find some guys that are uneducated and ordinary fishermen and say, come follow me. Let's start a revolution. Let's bring the kingdom of God in. And during those 3 years, they served people that nobody really wanted to have anything to do with. You know, touching lepers, feeding people who are hungry. That was Jesus, a humble man. Now, when we come face to face with a human being who is in need, and we find ourselves, when we're there, we find ourselves in a similar place as Jesus would put himself. And when we humble ourselves from our places in society and we go to those people who are down and out, who are struggling to get by, who are homeless and hungry, who are sick, when we do those things, we get to know Jesus better. We get to know his heart better. And that makes an internal difference in our lives. Jesus had a passion to do his Father's will. In John 4:34, Jesus explained, "My nourishment comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work." You know, when you're right in the center of God's will in your life, you know what Jesus means, how that is the nourishment, his nourishment, doing the Father's will. You know, when you find yourself doing the things God planned for you to do before the creation of the world, the good works that he planned for you to do, it is like the greatest feeling that you can ever have. And so it just kind of makes you want to throw your head back and run, you know, with a reckless abandon that you're in this groove with God. You just know you're right where he wants you to be. Ever had that feeling? That feeling of just, you know, you're just doing it right today. Just right where God wants you. Next time you see a human being and they have a need and you notice that need and you decide to get involved, you decide to get in the flow with mercy in that person's life, know this, you are hitting the bullseye with what God wants you to do, and you're knowing Jesus better. He had a passion to do His will. He also had compassion for people. Jesus did. Matthew 9, 35 and 36, Jesus traveled through all the towns and villages of that area, teaching in the synagogues and announcing the good news about the kingdom. And He healed every kind of disease and illness. When He saw the crowds, He had compassion on them because they were confused and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. So when you have eyes of compassion to see people like this, with the heart of your Savior, with the heart to do something about their need, you're getting to know Jesus better. You're getting to know Him in a different way. And I thought, man, do we need to be overwhelmed with His heart of compassion? You know, to overcome our skepticism and our cynicism when we look at people who are maybe standing at the stoplight with a sign, you know, homeless, hungry, please help. You know, I mean, what goes through your mind when you come up to somebody like that? Or somebody approaches you in the parking lot, say, hey, I'm out of gas. You know, those things happen. They happen all the time. What goes through our minds? Well, what if we just erred on the side of generosity? You know, what if we just said, you know what? I'm going to give even though I might be getting taken, and trust God to take care of the gift.
Amen.
What if we would do that? What if we saw people like Jesus with eyes of compassion? And we ask for wisdom to know how to help them. You know what would happen? Well, as there would be a difference being made on the inside of you as you got to know His heart better for hurting people. Jesus came to give life. He was a life giver. John 10, 10 and 11, the thief's purpose is to steal and kill and destroy. My purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd sacrifices his life for the sheep. Now, when we read that and understand there's some spiritual life behind Jesus' words, that's certainly right. It's certainly the way to read that about Jesus giving a spiritual life. But also Jesus came, as you look at his ministry, he came and made a difference in the physical life for people. Immediate difference. He helped people. He was a life giver. And he helped so many. And so when you're able to do that, you're walking in his footsteps again. You're getting to know his ministry, how he lived his life, and you're going to be growing to be like him. Now, I wanted to show you a video testimony of a man that's been following Jesus a really long time, been a Christian a long time. And I think you'll see in him how a life of faithfulness and obedience has shaped him into somebody who looks a lot like Jesus. So let's watch. I was thinking when I saw that, I was thinking, I hope I'm living like that guy after 45 or 50 years of following the Lord. That's my idea of retirement right there, you know. Visiting people like that. What a beautiful testimony of a guy who just has been obedient with his life, gone through tough times, but there he is, filled with joy, visiting somebody who's you know, really struggling in their life. So mercy will make an immediate difference. Mercy will make an internal difference as it flows from our lives. And finally, something really exciting is mercy can make an eternal difference. Now, mentioned last week how we know that it does as we store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. You know, as we do good things here, we store up treasure in heaven there for eternity, and that'll be a good thing. But listen, the possibility always exists when believers are in the flow with mercy and they're pouring out mercy on someone who doesn't know Jesus yet. There's a possibility that exists. That there's an eternal difference that's going to be made. Now, Peter did his act of mercy in Jesus' name. And that beggar ended up walking and leaping and praising God. Do you think when the excitement was over the next day and he woke up, he had a question about who Jesus was? He would have been a believer. The immediate difference in his life was so miraculous. He turned and he praised God, just like Jesus said would happen when we shine our light and people see our good works and they turn and praise their Heavenly Father. That's exactly what happened there. Now, this doesn't have to be as difficult as we might think, to go from mercy to mission, to go from making an immediate difference to making an eternal difference. But I'll tell you this, it's always going to feel daring to do this. But here's how it starts. It starts with a burden for the lost. You know, to remember that there's people out there who haven't believed in Christ yet. And the end of their life is not a good ending. And they're lost without Him, and they need a Savior. They're harassed and helpless. So it starts with a burden for them, a spiritual burden. And then it moves to a willingness on our parts to share about how Jesus meets our needs spiritually. And then it moves to prayer, asking God to show us who we need to speak to, asking Him to give us opportunity and boldness and courage. And I was thinking, you don't want to try to go from mercy to mission without the leading of the Holy Spirit. You want to ask Him to go before you and to show you the way. And, you know, you might not be the person that leads someone to Christ, but you could be somebody who moves them one step closer. Okay? So you ask God for opportunity. You ask Him to lead you in all this. And then you get in the flow with mercy, just like Peter did. And you go and you say, I'm here because Jesus loves you. And I'm helping you today in His name. Let me be His hands, His feet, His voice in your life. And then there's that opportunity to take it another step and to ask the question, do you know Jesus? Do you know Jesus? Four words? Four words that might be the beginning of changing someone's life. You know, when I eat lunch with Pastor Matt Kwan, every single time he asks the waiter or waitress, do you know Jesus? And it always ends up in a good conversation. Do you know Jesus? And if they answer in a way that you know they don't, then it's, would you like to know Him? Let me tell you what He's done. Let me tell you what He's done for me. You know, back in June of 1994, He came into my life. He forgave me my sin, and He gave me a new life with Him. And He'll do the same thing for you. He loves you. Would you like to know Him today? See what happens. That's the kind of conversation that can happen as a result of us pouring out mercy on people. It's a mission kind of conversation. A mission kind of conversation. I was thinking, that may not happen all at once, you know, that conversation. But it might. And it certainly can. It is that kind of conversation that leads someone to Christ, to faith in Christ. Leads someone to God making an eternal difference in their life. And I was thinking, it is so imperative, church, that we have these conversations. Nobody else in the world is going to do it. A lot of people can feed the hungry and clothe those that don't have any clothes. But not very many people can have this kind of conversation. The kind of conversation that makes an eternal difference in somebody's life. What if the church decided to use mercy work as a means to mission? What if we decided to do that? Well, I'll tell you what would happen. Believers would have a revival. I mean, I'm talking show up at church every night kind of revival. Why? I mean, you know, just sharing the gospel with somebody gets you over a hump with God that so many of us carry. And when you do that, you know, the joy that comes from getting in the center of God's will, from doing what He wants you to do. It just happens. The Spirit stirs. Just from a conversation about spiritual things with someone. The other thing that would happen is, not yet believers would become believers. God would make an eternal difference in their life. He will use you to lead people to faith in Christ. It's our mission. It's what can happen. It's what can happen as we get in the flow with mercy. Now we're going to close the service today, celebrating the Lord's Supper together. And the altar's open this morning for you to come and come up here and remember the ultimate difference maker with mercy. How Jesus gave us life in His name. How He died for us, pouring out that mercy on us. So spend some time this morning as you come and think about that mercy that was poured out and how expensive it was. And then offer yourself back to God today and just say, I want to be a difference maker with mercy. Go out and use me today, God. And when you're ready for the elements, just glance up and our elders will serve you. And if you can't kneel, please use the front row and we'll serve you there. You don't have to be a member of Living Streams to participate in the Lord's Supper, but you do need to be a follower of Jesus. If you've never had a conversation like the one I just described, have that conversation with me today. And we'll see if God makes an eternal difference in your life as we talk to Him about salvation. Let's pray. For this is what the Lord Himself has said about His table, and I have passed it on to you before, that on the night when Judas betrayed Him, the Lord Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks to God for it, He broke it and gave it to His disciples and said, take this and eat it. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this to remember me. In the same way, He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, this cup is the new agreement between God and you that has been established and set in motion by my blood. Do this in remembrance of me whenever you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are retelling the message of the Lord's death, that He has died for you. Do this until He comes again. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for time at your table this morning to remember the ultimate difference maker with mercy, Jesus. Remembering how His body was broken, how His blood was poured out for the forgiveness of our sins. And so we pray, Father, just as we come up here together to do that, that Your Spirit would be near to us and speak to us and fill us for the work You have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we're filled with joy and gratitude, thinking on You and Your mercy to us today. Send us out full of joy and gratitude as we go out into this world that needs to see hope, needs to see peace and love. Fill us with Your Spirit. Give us opportunity as we go. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.